This is episode 148 on February 4th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And this is, I can't believe, episode 148. I need to stop saying that, though, you know, because...
That you can't believe it.
I know. I'm pinching myself. Ouch. Oh, sorry. how are you doing, man?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
I am doing good. Work's been kind of crazy. One guy decided to take the week off, and so I'm pulling his duty, so it's wearing me out. So
no sympathy here, man.
What you been up to? Anything photography-wise?
You know, it's been a relatively uneventful week. I think right after the last podcast, I did manage to get out in town here and do some more light trails.
Awesome.
Yeah, I found a better parking structure in town that has, in my opinion, better views, better vantage points.
I have to say that I think your light trails are pretty sweet.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, they're fun to do. And I think I tend to do more like urban type photography in the winter just because, I don't know, landscapey stuff to me is just so blah in the wintertime.
Yeah. What? Okay, so the last one you posted, was that a church tower with a clock on it, or there was some sort of a tower, I think, with a clock? I could be mistaken.
That was a few days ago. Yes, that was a church.
Oh, okay.
I posted another one today that does not have a church in it.
So, okay, walk everybody through real quick on your process because, you know, we probably, you know, we know sometimes how to do light trails with a regular camera. What do you do differently with the iPhone?
You know, it's really more about what's the same than what's different.
Okay.
You still really want to have your phone on a tripod, you know, to keep it still. Another good tip, and this is something in like another post in our Facebook group we were talking about earlier in the week, but another good tip is to try to use a timer if the app, whatever camera app you're using, will allow for that. So that way, even though your phone's on a tripod, you could introduce some shake to the camera just by touching the screen, you know, to get the shutter going. So in any case, the app that I was using is Slow Shutter Cam, which simulates, you know, a long exposure. And Slow Shutter Cam has some different modes like motion and light trails and something else. And really the light trails is the setting that you want to put it in. For some reason, the other modes don't really capture light trails. Only the light trail mode does. It's really kind of weird.
Do you think that's a programming feature that they added to that?
I think it has. It is. There is something going on with the way it captures the light. Like if you put it in, let's say the motion. Let me just fire up the app and actually make sure I'm saying this right. But I think it's called Motion Blur, and you'll be able to see like the lights of a car making a trail, but they're very, very faint. Like,
right.
It's almost like all the images it's capturing are being like blended together, like using Photoshop screen mode.
Okay.
Whereas you could kind of think of the light trails mode as being more like a whole bunch of images being blended using multiply.
Okay.
Or not really multiply, because the whole image doesn't turn dark or anything, but maybe like hard light or something like that. But yeah, my settings, I usually use the full light sensitivity. And then just depending on what I'm doing, a shutter speed of like 15 or 30 seconds is what I use. So the nice thing with an iPhone is that when you change the shutter speed, it doesn't necessarily change the exposure. It just changes the amount of time you're going to capture the light moving through the scene. So, like, for instance, I had a couple compositions where, like, I was up high in a parking garage, but I was kind of looking down a street. So, yeah. You know, you could see, you know, pretty far in the distance. So I would use the 30-second exposure because I wanted to make sure I was capturing these cars from as far as I could see them until they were passing me and getting out of the frame. Does that make any sense?
Okay, say that again.
Like if I had used a shorter exposure, the light trails would stop.
Yes, that makes sense. Like,
You know, in somewhere in the middle of the frame, and I didn't want that. I wanted like nice, long, continuous light trails going from, you know, whether they were coming into the frame and headed off into the distance, or if they started in the distance and they were headed out of the frame. I just wanted to make sure the shutter was open long enough for the lights to travel whatever that distance was.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I used to, you know, practice with my DSLR and get it. And sometimes the shutter would close before the car made it through, and so you do get a partial light trail, and sometimes a little bit of the car in it, depending on how much light is still out during the dark. But so is there two, you said there's two different settings, there's 15 and 30. Can you go longer than that?
You could do 60 seconds, and then there's also a bulb mode.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which would keep it going as long as you need it to.
Does that mean you have to eye bulb it?
I'm not sure what the joke is there, but yes, that's exactly what it means.
Sorry. I don't have a rim shot sound effect, but I have this.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I don't know, doing a lot of light trails, and I would also take the same picture with another app like Vivid HDR or something. Just to get that kind of more saturated, just HDR type picture. And then what I've been doing is in Nlight, I've been using the mixer tool.
Yeah.
To blend the two images together. So I would basically use like pretty much all of the HDR image and then paint in the light trails from the light trail image.
Oh, very cool. So that's what you did with the one you posted today.
Yeah, and that one was actually three pictures blended together. There's two different images with just the light trails that are blended together, because apparently those roads in Canton are sparsely used, so I had to wait for a while for car to drive by. and then I did another picture with Vivid HDR, so I was able to blend all three of those together to come up with the image that I posted today.
Well, cool. Well, that's cool. You know, I'm going to post the apps that you used in the show notes. So if you are looking for those apps in the App Store, you can just go to our show notes and find those. And I think that'd be cool to start seeing some light trails in our Facebook group.
So
yeah, I guess the reason I've been doing them lately is because pretty much right after I get out of work is it's sunset. And so by the time I get to like a parking garage and I get set up and everything, the sun is like just below the horizon. So it's dark enough that people have their headlights on and I can do the light trails, but there's still color,
yeah,
you know, in the sky and everything. It's not like pitch black outside. So I think that just makes for a more like a more pleasing looking picture, more interesting picture, rather than it just being like, you know, the dead of night.
Yeah.
With some light trails going through it. There's just a lot more color at that time of day when I'm going out and doing these.
Dave asked, Matt, did you need to do much zooming to get the painting right, or did Enlight do the painting well on its own?
I do zoom in when I get like kind of close to like the edges where, you know, like where I just don't want the effect painted in or something. So I do zoom in, but I'll tell you what, man, I've been really impressed with Enlight's masking feature. Like that's essentially what's going on in the mixer tool. It's really just you're masking basically. I'm taking one picture and putting another picture on top of it and then just masking out one of those pictures, the parts I don't want. And it seems to know. It seems to have like edge aware and stuff, and it does a really good job even if you don't zoom in. Like you would think, like, you know, my fat fingers, I would be, if I get to like the edge of a building, it would, my finger would make it bleed over into the sky or something, and then I'd have to zoom in and like, you know, paint it back out or whatever. But it doesn't do that. It's like edge aware or something. It does a really awesome job.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I always hate when I accidentally go over what I want, and then either I have to do it all over again, or I have to switch to the little eraser to remove it.
Yeah, like the one I posted today, I had to do a little bit of like back and forth with the erase tool and then the add tool and the erase tool to get it like just right, but it wasn't. It took me like 5 minutes. It wasn't that time consuming. It wasn't really that hard.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I really enjoy seeing those images. And I need to do some more light trails. I do. So I think that's going to be my goal, is to, pull out the trusty tripod and, see what I can get. So
yeah, I think you should. You know, I'm sure with having kids and everything, like going out after the kids go to bed might be the only time you really have to shoot, you know.
After my first daughter was born, a buddy of mine, his son was born a couple months after my daughter, and we would go out and shoot, but you know, the only time we could do it was at night. And so we were going to downtown Rock Hill and, you know, setting up our tripods and doing that. So I think we need to do that more often. So, all right, well, cool. Let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. We had a question come up in our Facebook group, and I thought it would be a good topic. We've talked about this previously in other episodes, but I was talking to Mark today, and Mark says, oh, it's that time of year, and I guess we're going to, you know, do this maybe once a year, is talk about how do you remove images off of your iPhone? Not only how do you remove them, but what is typically the fastest way of doing it? Because the listener had posted that she was having a hard time getting them off quickly. She was using a particular method that was taking a lot of time, and I guess she was getting frustrated. So she posted to the group and wanted to know. So let's start talking about that. Matt, you had made a comment that kind of caught me a little off guard. You're having issues, right? What's your issue?
Well, yeah. So actually at the moment I'm having an issue where for some reason my computer, no matter what application I open, whether it's Photos or Aperture or Photoshop, or even I have a Mac, so I have an application called Image Capture. None of those recognize that my phone is a camera that is connected to the computer. So I actually have not been able to upload any of my photos from my iPhone 6S Plus onto my computer to back them up, which is concerning.
Yeah, especially, yeah, that's not being able to remove them from the phone for me would mean that I couldn't, you know, take any more pictures because I have the 16 gig and I fill it up pretty quickly. So here's the full question. And so that I don't forget this here. I want to take some photos off my phone to free up space. I can download them to iPhoto, then move them to my external drive. But that takes hours. Wow. Is there an easy way to get them off the iPhone 6? If you have a method, please share. So we had a bunch of people share. Randy said, download Google Photo app and it takes all your photos off your phone. Melissa said she uses the Flickr app, downloads to the free storage, and then and you can open it up wherever you want. Let's see here. Dan said you could do iCloud backup, and a lot of those are good, but I think she needs to have the photos local and in a way that she can keep them safe too. Sounds like her external hard drive is her her backup plan, and she may keep it in probably in a fire safe or something like that. Nigel O'Connell had posted that there's the iStick, I guess, is a way to be able to move it from the iPhone and then to the computer. Greg says that there's a utility called for Mac called Image Capture, and I don't know how fast it takes it off. I have a PC. And I use my computer. I plug it in. Mine recognizes the iPhone, unlike what Matt was saying he's having an issue with. And there, once I open up the files, I can see all the images. I select them all, and then there's two options. You can move or you can copy. Copy means that it copies everything on the phone and puts it into a file. Move means that it copies it to the file, but after it's done copying, it deletes everything off the phone. And it's an all-in-one, just press one button and it's done. And it's actually fairly quick. I'd say to remove all the images from my phone probably takes about 2 minutes. And then once it's done copying, it deletes it. I don't have to take an extra step. But there are other ways of doing it. And so I thought maybe we can probably touch on a few. What do you normally do, Matt, when your computer recognizes your phone?
What I've been doing is... I use Aperture on my Mac, and so I just have a folder in Aperture that's called iPhone Photos, and then in that folder there's just a ton of subfolders for like whatever it is that I shot, because it's pretty rare that I just like take like one picture here, one picture at a different place, you know what I mean? So I'll have like groups of pictures that were taken, you know, at the same time, whether it's like groups of pictures of my son or like the light trails, you know, I have 20, 30 pictures from when I was taking pictures, you know, doing the light trails. So
yeah,
like I would make a folder under the iPhone pictures folder. I'd make a subfolder called light trails. And then I would upload those light trail pictures into that folder. And that's just what I do. And like some of the stuff I don't have to make a folder for. Like if it's a picture of my pictures of my son, I've had a folder for, you know, 2.5 years now called Joseph. So all those pictures go into the Joseph folder. And then, you know, I would try to do this like, you know, once a week or every couple weeks or something, so the pictures don't pile up too much and it's easier to keep track of like what I've uploaded to the computer and what I didn't. And then if I've been lazy about deleting pictures, that's when I use the image capture application. So plug it in or you fire it up, it sees that your phone's connected, it shows you all the pictures. And if you want to delete them all, you can do that. You could just like, I think hit delete all or something, or you could just do like a, you know, a selection to pick whichever pictures that you want to delete and hit one button. I still think even though the Photos app on your phone lets you delete like a whole bunch of pictures all at once,
yeah,
it's still kind of tedious because you still have to select them all.
Yes. There's no select all.
I think there is actually, but if you don't want to delete all the pictures, you got to go in and, you know, just tap on every picture that you want to delete. It's just faster with image capture. So I would usually do it that way. And I know there's like a lot of cloud solutions. You know, people have mentioned Flickr and Google and all that stuff, but I don't know. For some reason, I don't trust them.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay. Like, so one of the concerns about Google or Flickr is that there's a, you know, when you upload them to those services, you have to be careful that they're not taking any information or quality away from your images. And because like they'll give you two different options. Do you want to upload these quickly or do you want to upload the full resolution? Full resolution could probably take you a few hours to upload. And, you know, it kind of ties up the phone. They're concerned with, okay, let's get them up quickly because people are most likely going to want to do that. And the regular folks that have their iPhones will probably choose the low resolution images because they're just images and they look great anyways. They're not going to be printing them or doing anything else. They just want them safe. So check to see if the service has a fast mode or a full resolution mode. That way, if you're not saving it locally, you're at least saving the full resolutioned image in the cloud and not a skimmed down 72 DPI 148K sized image, you know, because you'll be thoroughly disappointed. Greg said real quick that image capture works a similar way that I said with my PC, where it will download and then delete. Doug had a couple comments and said, I just use Apple Photos, which opens and starts backing up automatically. I back up at least once a week or so it doesn't take too long. And then he said that he also has both Flickr and Google app automatically back up to the respective sites simultaneously as he takes them. He says it's not, granted, it's not local, but that way I have two cloud backups and one local, and I have general copy local photos. And you can purchase different size accounts for backing up your images. It just depends on either how much you want to pay, if you want to pay at all. So there's a lot of them have free plans. So let's see here.
Yeah, I like that idea. So like I have Flickr, but I almost never upload my mobile phone photos to it, my iPhone photos.
Right.
For I don't know why. I don't know why. I just don't. I'm not sure why. But I had just commented to Doug that I might create like a folder or something to that effect in Flickr that maybe I could automatically upload to. And I'm not sure how to set that up yet. I'm going to have to like look into it. But I was just thinking like maybe I could use a an app like If This Then That.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and make a little recipe so that, you know, whenever I take a picture or whatever, it automatically goes to a particular folder in Flickr or something like that. I'll have to look into that. I like that idea. I think something like that could work for me.
Yeah.
It's not going to solve my problem that I mentioned at the beginning of this discussion, but no. I do like the idea in general.
Yeah, it's having some sort of a plan, whether it is on site or off site, is important. I had a local hard drive crash on me probably about 10 years ago, and I lost a lot of images, but there was a lot of images that I had on CDs and was able to repopulate the new computer that I got. But still, the images that I lost, I could never get back again. And do I remember what those images were? No. But there's still a part of me that, you know, kind of regrets not having some sort of a backup plan. And that's when I decided to, you know, purchase a Carbonite account and have my computer every night back up, and you know, whatever images or files that I had on my computer, so that if something were to happen to my computer, or say there was a house fire or something, those images would still be accessible. I wouldn't lose them, and the new computer that I would get would be able to populate back again to have a local storage. So, you know, I think I pay $55 a year, which in reality is not that much money, especially when your images are being saved. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not even $5 a month. So no. That's pretty good.
And a lot of these plans, the free plans like Apple's iCloud or Google, let's see here, who's it? Matt DeVore said Amazon Photos. They have free plans, but then they also, of course, have a plan, you know, above the free, which you pay for, which is their bread and butter. That's how they're able to make money. And it's not like the film days where you would, you know, have your photos, but then you may get them scanned and then, you know, save them somewhere. We're taking more images, I guess, in 1 year than the whole film years prior to digital combined. It's just unbelievable. And there's probably hundreds of thousands and millions of images that are lost every day. I was watching a YouTube channel where people are metal detecting, and this one guy was actually hunting in a stream, and he was pulling up iPhones. iPhones that, you know, were in life-proof cases but weren't able to be safe from the water. He actually pulled one up that was in a bag that kept it dry. So that person was probably able to get their images back. But I couldn't believe how many iPhones he was pulling out of this stream. And it made me think about the whole backing up plan and how many of those people were thoroughly distraught when they no longer had those images. And there's heartbreaking stories. Oh, if somebody finds this iPhone, please get it back to us. These are the last images or the only images of so-and-so that we ever had. And that's a shame. That should never happen. So if you have friends, pester them. Tell them, back up your images. You never know. Most people never, ever take their images off their phone. They end up getting a new phone, and they're thinking, oh, great. I have all this extra space on my phone. And they never take it off.
Yeah, it's an easy trap to fall into.
Yeah. All right. If you guys have any suggestions, let us know. Go onto the Facebook group and tell us what your backup plan is. And, you know, you may inspire those in the group to say, hey, that's a great idea. I want to look into that more and be able to keep my images safe. So please go on to Facebook and post what you're doing. All right.
Yeah, the chat group here gave me a ton of homework.
I know.
They got a lot of good ideas, a lot of things for me to check out. Like Matt DeVore is talking about Amazon Photos, which is included if you have a Prime membership, which of course I do. So
me too.
Now I need to read up on that and see why am I not taking advantage of that.
I need to get my wife to do that too.
You were talking about Carbonite earlier, and Greg McMillan mentioned a similar service called Backblaze that he likes.
Uh-huh.
And that sounds intriguing, so I need to check that out. I need to set up the Flickr thing. I've decided I'm going to do that.
Sweet.
And then I'm going up to the big city this weekend, so I'm going to try to make it to an Apple store and see if those geniuses can figure out what's going on with my phone.
Yeah, I highly suspect that it's your computer and not your phone.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. All right, any more thoughts on this?
No, because like I said, this is not my strong suit.
Well, for most people, it's not. But, you know, we want people to, you know, start thinking about this. So cool. All right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure after all this homework though, I'm going to be an expert.
Yeah. very cool. Well, let's go ahead and move into our next segment. Post pick of the week. All right. Well, we had a very good showing of Post Pick of the Week, our weekly photo challenge in the Facebook group. And I have to say, there's some really good images in there. And it was difficult to pick one. But I didn't actually do a panorama. I do panoramics all the time. I found myself in no spot I thought that was worthy of posting in the Facebook group. So I wasn't able to get my images, get an image in there. But that didn't stop everybody else. This last week's weekly photo challenge was panoramics. And the iPhone, I have to say, is an awesome tool for getting them. I have to say, I don't think I've ever had a better image capture with anything else. I've tried the Canon and taking multiple images and trying to stitch them together, but I always ran into anomalies. Either one image was too big compared to the others, and it wasn't able to match up, say, leaves on a tree to make it look good. The iPhone does a great job of stitching it while it's taking the image, and it's not a weak little image size. These are pretty hefty sized images so that you can blow them up. So have you done many panoramics, Matt?
I would say I probably do, I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 20 a year, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that probably doesn't sound like a lot, but to me, that's a lot of panoramics.
I'm judging you right now. You know that. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Oh, it's judge away. That's fine. I hardly ever use like the built-in panoramic feature. Yeah. I know it does a really good job. I have used it, but I just find that like you kind of have to practice with it to get it good, because it's easy to end up with like lines that are wavier than they should be.
Okay,
you know, like if like you're not moving the phone in a smooth enough manner or a straight enough line, then things tend to get a little wavy and not straight.
Yeah.
So what I usually do when I do a panoramic is I'll shoot all the pictures in another app, and I think my favorite thing to do is HDR panoramics.
Yes.
So I'll do all the pictures with Vivid HDR, and I 9 times out of 10 I'll do a panoramic handheld. You know, it just takes a little bit longer to do it with Vivid HDR, but you know, I'll shoot all the pictures vertically, so like in the portrait format, and I usually overlap them by about a third, and you know, just take as many pictures as it takes to cover the scene I want to cover. And it seems like usually I end up with like 8 or 9 pictures, and then I'll just stitch them together in another app. And the best one I found for that is Auto Stitch.
Okay.
Is what it was called. And Auto Stitch did a great job. It did more than just stitch the pictures together. It also did a good job of balancing exposures between frames if for some reason it changed.
Yeah.
You know, so you didn't have like one picture with like a bright sky and another picture with a darker sky or something like that. It would do a good job of kind of like balancing everything out. That's one of the apps I accidentally deleted off my computer.
Oh, no.
And it's no longer in the app store, so I can't get it back. And so I'm using another app called Auto Stitch Pick. Because believe it or not, there's very few apps, it seems, in the App Store right now that allow you to load photos into them to stitch together. Almost every panoramic app in the App Store is an app that is like a camera app.
Yeah.
You know, which is, to me, very frustrating. But there's an app called Auto Stitch Pick, and it does an okay job. There's really no settings or anything you can adjust in it. So, like, what you get is what you get out of it. It doesn't do like Auto Stitch did. It doesn't do any kind of like balancing out between the frames. So sometimes you can see if there's like a slight difference from one shot to the next, you could kind of see a distinct line in your picture, which is kind of annoying. And then I really need to check this out in another app that shows metadata, but I have no idea like what sort of resolution it's saving the pictures as. I don't know if it's full resolution or if it downsizes them or whatever, but there's no settings to change for that.
Yeah, and to explain to people why some programs or people have a hard time getting images just right, when you're taking a picture, you're not getting a flat perspective of the image. It's very much either it's like trying to take a bubble, trying to take bubbles and lining up the corners of the bubbles. Well, bubbles don't have corners, and so those lines, if you were to have intersecting lines, would not match up. So sometimes it takes a special program to stretch those lines out so that they meet in order to get a seamless image. And I believe that's why the Apple iPhone has been a really good panoramic camera, is because they do that automatically when you're capturing the image.
Yeah, definitely.
So having said all that, it's time to pick our post pick of the week. And it is my turn. And the image, and I have to say there's a lot of good ones in there. The image that I chose was one of, let's see here. Oh, come on. Where'd it go? I got it right here. All right. Well, the image was done by Matt DeVore, and it is a picture of Wyoming. And it is a mountain range with a lake in it. I have to say it is beautiful. There's a mix of greens and browns and blues, and I am a sucker for the mountains. A lot of people here love to go to the beach, and the beach is all right, but I love the mountains. I miss Tahoe. I miss going to Kings Canyon and to Yosemite. Just the something about the mountains, the mountain air, the freshness of the mountain is something that is endeared to myself. So when I saw this, I said, "Woohoo! This is an awesome image." So congratulations, Matt, and it is a beautiful panoramic image.
Yeah, I'm a little bit jealous of it. I definitely looks like someplace that I would like to be. It reminds me of a little bit of the, it looks like Rocky Mountain National Park a little bit.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Wyoming before?
I've only been to Cheyenne, so I haven't seen too much of it.
Okay, yeah. I've been to Cheyenne. I took a trip from California up to Oregon through Idaho and then into Wyoming, then down into Denver. But a previous trip, we had gone up through Denver into Wyoming. And I have to say, driving through Wyoming, it is beautiful. A lot of the mountains were snow-covered. Even in the middle of June, they were still snow covered, and it made for a beautiful, beautiful drive. And one day I'll go back, take the kids, and smell the fresh air in Wyoming. Matt cool. said he waited until the motorcyclist was done. never mind. he got a good image, so I should have read that all the way through. If you're not in the chat room, then you are missing out. We actually have a pretty good showing in the chat room. I'm very pleased. So
We do. It is entertaining, that's for sure.
Yeah, they kind of got sidetracked a little bit on internet speeds, but that's all right. One of the things that we're doing, sort of a change in the way we do our weekly photo challenge, we had somebody bring up the fact that by the time we do our show, it doesn't seem like there's enough time for people to be able to do the challenge. So instead of a Sunday through Saturday, we're going to do a Friday night through Thursday, because Thursday is when we record our show. And that gives a few extra days to be able to get the images for the post pick of the week. So we are now going to be, after the show, posting on Facebook the weekly photo challenge. That way there is a full 7 days to be able to get the images and have them posted in Facebook. So that is one change we are doing. And I don't think we'll be making any other changes, but if there is something that you think may need to change, let us know. We're not, we're not dictators. Well, we're not hardened dictators. We can make changes. So please send us a note. Let us know if there's something we could do better, and we may end up doing it. So, you got anything else, Matt?
No, I'm pretty down for this change.
Good.
I think it'll give everybody a fair chance to have their image represented for the post pick of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's go ahead and choose this week's weekly photo challenge. And we had some ideas, but I think I may want to suggest light trails. I don't know. Was there something else you were thinking?
Personally, I was thinking double exposures.
Ooh, double exposures, light trails.
We got another vote for light trails, though, and I think somebody mentioned leading lines, which I think is intriguing.
Yeah.
You can be pretty down with leading lines.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's do the leading lines, and that would give people time to listen to the show, and maybe we can do light trails next week.
All right. Matt DeVore, this is your episode, man. You got post pick of the week, and we're doing your leading idea lines for the photo challenge.
Yeah. Very cool. So this week's weekly photo challenge is going to be leading lines. And I suggest that look up on the web what leading lines means in photography. That will give you a good idea of what we're looking for. It's something, lines that are meant to take your attention to a specific spot in the image is the beginning of what leading lines is all about. I think this should be interesting, and I think the one that we pick would have to be pretty spectacular. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this will be good. This will be fun.
All right. I think we are almost done. Do you got anything else you wanted to mention?
No. I got some new headphones. I don't know if you could tell.
Woohoo! You can hear me better, right?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Oh, good. What kind did you get?
They're just some Sennheiser headphones. I actually bought them for my wife because she wanted noise-canceling headphones, and these are not specifically noise-canceling, but okay. All the reviews I read said, you really can't hear anything outside of what you're,
oh, okay.
you know, what you're listening to. So I was like, well, yeah, that should be sufficient, but apparently it wasn't. So I was like, well, I'm going to keep them then.
There you go. Are they wired or wireless?
No, they're wired.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, they sound really good and they're comfortable, so I'm into them.
Hey, comfortable is 90% of wearing over-the-ear headphones, so. All right, well, let's go ahead and do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they could find you?
You could check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Yeah, he should. you can find me, Joseph Ferreira, on Instagram as Joseph Ferreira. And you can find the show notes, the Facebook link, the YouTube channel, the email, which is tinyshutter@gmail.com, all on tinyshutter.com. So please go there and look at the show notes. Leave us a note. Go to Facebook. Join the group. I think we have 324 people in our Facebook group. That's awesome. And, you know, participate. We sometimes get some great ideas from people we haven't interacted with yet. And we really enjoy having everybody joining. Every time I go onto the Facebook app, I see a new notification for somebody wanting to join. And so it's awesome when I'm able to approve and have them join the group. So very good. All right, Matt. Great show.
You too.
And we will do this again next week. Say goodbye, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Oops. Press the wrong button.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Cool deal.
All right, I got to say this. Greg McMillan, I love you.
What did he do?
Oh, he told me to go into the App Store, go to Purchased, go to Not On This Phone, search for Auto Stitch, and I could get it back. And that totally worked, and I don't know why I didn't think of that like a long, long, long time ago. But yay, I have Auto Stitch. Now I'm going to spend like I'm going to be up all night reprocessing all the panos that I've done in the last like 4 or 5 months.
Oh
my goodness. Fantastic. Life just keeps getting better and better.